Let's get out to the Band of Brothers hotline and bring in our special guest, Jordan Penny Pendleton. What's up, dude?
What's up, Ben? How you doing, man?
Living right, man. It's always exciting to see former players come together. I thought that was a really cool idea that BYU marketing, the BYU administration put together. Austin was there, Brady Papinga, Reno, Dan Coates, Danny Sorensen, you were there, Terrence Brown. I mean, the list goes on. Who did you announce? Who was the recruit that you stood up and so eloquently introduced to BYU Nation?
My guy was the linebacker out of Hurricane, Jeremiah, and I'd be lying if I said I remember how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, I think it's like Ieramea or something like that. I think it's
Jeremiah, yeah, something like that.
Did you get to watch his film at all? Did you get to know him at all after you introduced him?
I did. After I announced him, I was able to watch his film a little bit, and man, I'm shocked he's 250. He moves really well for being 250. That's a big dude in high school.
What did you see from his film? He moves well, comes downhill. I think he played both sides, too.
Yeah, he just, you know, when I saw that he was 6'1", 250, I looked at Coach Menonall and was like, is he really, you know, because you know how high school kids like to bump up their weight a little bit on the roster sheet. But anyway, what I saw, you know, moves really well at that size. He's big. I don't think I ever played with any middle linebackers there that were 250, so really big and moves really well for his size. Downhill player, likes to hit, he's physical. So looks like they're getting a good guy with him.
Are you able to interact with a lot of your boys that you played with and guys that came before you? How was that? Who did you get to chat with?
Yeah, it was awesome, man. I got to see your little partner on your show right now, Harvey.
JP.
That was great. Always good to see Harvey. Me and Harvey were really close back when we played together. So always good to see him. And it was good to see Vic. You know, I see Vic every day, so actually I'm kind of sick of him. good to see Brian and Dave Nixon I haven't seen for a while. And, yeah, man, it was good. I think, you know, it was crazy just how everything was set up and how professional it was. I didn't know it was like that nowadays. Like, I guess I'm getting old, but when I signed, it was just, you know, I was eating a bowl of Cheerios and faxed the paper over, and it was no big deal. But it's pretty cool to see, and I thought it was pretty cool to have all the alumni come back and announce the new signees, and it was pretty exciting, and it was good to see everybody.
Any of these recruits stand out to you? I know you were probably focused on the guy that you introduced, Jeremiah, but is there anyone that really impressed you? Were you able to watch anybody else's film?
I not too intently. Just from what I saw, though, it looks like they got a lot of really good athletes. I just remember watching, I think there was a cornerback we signed, and I just remember thinking, you know, this is a pretty good athlete. Looked like a pretty athletic group of guys from what I saw. So, and I'm not too familiar with everyone who did sign, but from what I've, you know, from what I saw and talking to Coach Menonhall, it sounds like it's been a really good recruiting year for them.
Jordan Pendleton, former BYU outside linebacker, on with us here on Cougar Sports on ESPN 960. Bronco Menonhall addressed the alumni issues that have surfaced in the last few weeks. Jason Buck, Kyle Van Noy coming out. Obviously, he wants to improve on that. In your opinion, how can BYU improve on alumni relations?
You know, I think in college sports and in any sports, it's next guy up. You know, it's always been that, and I noticed that when I got hurt. It was kind of like at the end of the day, it's still a business, and we're still trying to win football games. And I remember getting hurt, and it was like next guy up. And I didn't expect anybody to, you know, kiss my butt or anything, but I think players, especially players with big names and players that go through there, I think they feel like they want to be a little bit more appreciated. At the end of the day, we sacrifice our bodies for 5 years, and I know we're getting an education and all that. That's great, but with myself, I can't run for the rest of my life because of what I did on the field. So at the end of the day, us as players want to just feel appreciated. And so I think that those were some of the concerns from the other former players, and I totally understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, we have to realize that, you know, these guys, these coaches have 100 kids they have to deal with, and it's just shuffling through every single year. So they're not, you know, they're with their busy schedules, they're not always going to be able to cater to every single alumni that leaves, and I understand that. But I think reaching out to the alumni, and especially guys that were really good players there, and bringing them back, I think is a move in the right direction for BYU, because, you know, that those are the people that paved the way, and those are the reason, you know, BYU is on the map. And so reaching out to, you know, those guys who won 50 games in 5 years, that I think it's important, because that's what kind of set the tone at BYU and set the expectations high, and we need to keep those expectations high.
Jordan, what's were you able to catch up with Bronco Mendenhall at all while you were there, and what was your conversation with him like?
Yes, I was. me and Coach, we text every once in a while, and, you know, I'll send him a text here and there, and he'll send me a text here and there, and, you know, we developed a really close relationship my senior year, and we weren't really close before that, I'll be honest. It took a while to kind of crack under his skin and get to know each other a little bit better, but it was just really good. He just asked me about, you know, what I was doing. He heard I was training and asked me how that was. And we talked about the new strength and conditioning coach, which he's really excited about. And then, you know, just talked about personal stuff. At the end of the day, you know, me and Coach Mendenhall became close on a personal level. And so, you know, to ask me personal questions about my family and about, you know, personal stuff, you know, it meant a lot. You know, that was about it. We were able to catch up and just kind of, you know, pick each other's brains for a while.
JP, when we were there, was Coach Howell, and I can't really remember, obviously, I didn't pay too much attention on the defensive side of the ball.
I was pretty much focused on just whatever I was doing. I didn't really care about the team at all.
Nah, come on now. did Howell have, I guess, pull when you were there, or was he still a GA at the time, or was he kind of working his way up to the DB spot, or
yeah,
where was he at that time?
When I first got to BYU, I played DB, and I played for Coach Hill. Coach Howell's first year was my first year, and he was as a GA. So I started with Coach Howell when he was at the bottom of the bottom. He had just gotten there. He was coaching high school, and he had just gotten there. By the time I was a senior, or by the time I was a junior, he was my coach at outside linebacker. By the time I was a senior, he was a DB and had taken over Coach Hill's job after, you know, he had parted ways with BYU. And then the year after, he was all of a sudden defensive coordinator. So I was able to watch him be there from the bottom of the bottom to all of a sudden being the defensive coordinator.
Okay, that's perfect. And so he was there from the get-go, from you know, being at the bottom of the bottom to being the DC, the main guy, the guy on the defense. What in those years that you were there, and even up to now, what did you take away from him as your coach, as a GA? Both good and bad, and did you see, you know, the things that had happened this past season with him being the DC and stuff? What were the bright moments? What were the moments that you thought weren't so bright? You know, how did you feel? I guess, you know, you knowing him from the get go, where he's been to where he is now, how do you feel he's done as a coach?
You know, I think Coach Howell is, he knows his stuff. At the end of the day, he's phenomenal with X's and O's, and that's because he, you know, everyone knows me and Coach Hill had our battles, but at the end of the day, Coach Hill was he's a smart dude, and I'll never take that away from him. And Coach Howell learned under him, and not only under him, but Coach Mendenhall, who, in my opinion, is a defensive genius. So he was able to learn from Coach Hill and Coach Mendenhall. So the guy knows his stuff. I think at the end of the day, and I'm just being honest, Coach Hill knows I love him. And, you know, we still talk, you know, here and there as well. At the end of the day, it's hard for players, especially in this day and age, to buy into someone who – was at the bottom when you're playing, and then all of a sudden he's your coach. When you got a bunch of guys, I think I lost you. Am I still on?
No, you're still good. You're good. Yeah, we're just listening.
Oh, there's an Amber Alert. One sec. Amber Alert on my phone. What's up with that, man?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I lose you? We got Amber Alert. Got no, it. Man, we want to be Amber sensitive alert. To that, though.
So with kids nowadays, you got a bunch of prima donnas. You got a bunch of kids that think they've arrived. You got a bunch of kids who are hard to coach. They're uncoachable. That's just the way it is. It's just how it is.
Sad, yeah.
That's just a fact. And so it's going to be hard for someone to buy into Coach Howell being the guy when they're used to Coach Mendenhall being the guy. Because when Coach Mendenhall says something, everyone is like, okay, you know,
let's do it.
Like, yeah. What did you want me to do? I'll do it twice. Okay, now you get someone who was shagging balls for Coach Hill, and then now he's telling you what to do, and you're like, wait a second. Like, no, Coach Mendenhall is the guy. I think there's just a disconnect, and I think if Coach Howell would have been able to have a longer chance to stay at D coordinator and he gets kids that come in that weren't there when he was kind of, you know, at the bottom – I think it would be a different story, because if you go back and look at Coach Mendenhall when he first started coaching at Oregon State when he was a GA, I guarantee he doesn't get the respect then that he does now just because of his stature and just because of his resume and everything he's been through. So in my honest opinion, I think it's just tough for people to buy into someone new when they already know what Coach Mendenhall has done as a defensive coordinator. In no way, shape, or form do I think Coach Howell failed at being a defensive coordinator. I think he's a product of Coach Mendenhall, and I think he could succeed given the right players and the right time. But last year was just, it wasn't the right time and place. They had a lot of injuries. You know, they went on a little slump, and then, you know, he's obviously going to be the one to blame. But at the end of the day, he didn't get fired because he's a dang good coach, and, you know, Coach Mendenhall is going to keep him there because of that. And I think he'll still thrive coaching the DBs or whatever he's back coaching. He's still going to thrive, and I think he'll have, you know, a lot of say in what they do between him and Coach Mendenhall and what they do as a defense together. But at the end of the day, if Coach Mendenhall is your defensive coordinator and then he leaves and someone else comes in, there's not going to be the same mentality. There's not going to be people buying into it as much, and that's just the way it is, and it's unfortunate for Coach Howell.
Yeah, you talked about players buying into having Coach Howell be their leader and their defensive coordinator. Do you think there was an interesting dynamic too within the coaching staff too? You know, guys that have been a part of the program for a long time, and then all of a sudden the up and coming Colt, as we call him, becomes defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think so. And not only that, too, but if you look at the offensive side as well, you got guys that played there when Coach and I was first there, then got fired and then came back, and now he's your coach again. Like, it is a weird dynamic, honestly, to tell you the truth. And like I said, if it was in the right place and at the right time, I think Coach Howell, you know, could be a great defensive coordinator one day. But, you know, going from, you know, having Coach Hill be our defensive coordinator, seeing what happened, you know, my junior year when, you know, we had that horrible season and Coach Mendenhall came in and just, you know, all of a sudden we're top 10 defense the next 2 years. To go from that and then to bring someone else in, it's automatically going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be a drop-off. And it has nothing to do with whether Coach Howell was a great coach or not. I think it's just the situation. I think it's the kids, you know, that you have in at the time, and that's just the way the cards fall.
Jordan Pendleton, former BYU outside linebacker here on Cougar Sports on ESPN 960. I want you to update Cougar fans right now. You're training a number of different athletes over in Lehigh at Aces. You've been doing it now for, you've been in training for a long time, but I think you might be coming up on your year anniversary with Pendleton Performance, doing tremendous things and seeing some results from these players. Who are you training right now?
Yeah, so right now I'm prepping five guys to get ready for their pro day, and four of them happen to be from BYU, so that's been awesome. One of them is Sky Povey, the safety. I got Solo Kafu, I got Quinn in with me, and I got Paul Lasique. And then I got a slot receiver from Weber State who is going to blow everyone away when he tests. He's going to be a sleeper this year, and I think he's going to get a shot. He's going to, you know, he's a freak, and he's going to test extremely well, and I think he's going to be able to get in camp. And then, obviously, you know, Austin Colley is in with me and Vic Saoto, and Austin just signed with the BC Lions. We were really excited about that. He's feeling the best he's ever felt, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people up north. So.
Well, that's sweet, and I know you're not just doing the whole football side of things. You know, just for those listening, I think you were saying that you do train, you know, other people as well. You know, guys that are trying to get into shape, guys that are already in shape and just want to get more lean or stronger. So are you're not just doing football training? Am I correct?
Yeah. Yep. So football is my main niche. That's what I know the most. That's what I'm the best at, but I also take on, you know, I do a lot of diet plans for people. I do a lot of, you know, personal training for people who are just trying to better their life and get in better shape. I run a fitness class for females every Tuesday night at 8, and that's fun and rowdy, and we have a good time with that. And then also I started an off-season training program specifically for football for high school kids and middle school kids that encompasses everything that a football player needs to succeed. And that's going on right now, and we'll be running all the way until football season starts. And so, just this, you know, past 2 months, every single kid in my, off-season training football program increased their vertical by at least 4 inches, in 2 months, jeez, somewhere as high as 6 inches. So was really happy about that. And, yeah, I mean, if you have a kid that is looking to maximize his potential and get to the next level, get him in the program and get him rolling.
Talk to me about Austin. How did he come about his decision going to the CFL and having that opportunity? I know he was talking with a number of different teams, but how did that all play out?
You know, we really thought he was going to get picked up this year in the NFL again, but it's, you know, how that business is. It's a business, and at the end of the day, he didn't get picked up. I think he was ready to call it quits, but it also sucks because, like I said, he feels the best he has ever felt, and I mean that. He is dunking the basketball with ease. That's after his knee surgery. He's got a higher vertical. He's faster than he was when he went to the combine out of college, and he's 29 years old. And so, at the end of the day, I think he looked at it like, I can't call it quits when I feel the best I've ever felt. Like, I think he feels like he has so much more to give. And also, you know, when the whole Canadian Football League opened up, I think he didn't even realize at the time, but he was actually born in Canada. So he technically is, you know, he's Canadian. And so if you're Canadian and, you know, you can, you know, get a pretty good contract up there. And, you know, he still has schooling to finish. And I think he looked at it as an opportunity to continue to play, you know, while he's feeling the best he's ever felt and still be able to finish school. And you know, the CFL is not as time-consuming as the NFL is. And so he's going to be able to play and hopefully have some success up there. And then he's going to be able to finish school in the off season as well as what he really wants to do. So I'm happy for him that he still gets to play.
You know, it's interesting. You brought up the fact that Sky Povey's training with you right now, and I've learned that he's actually a really good athlete. And he got a bad reputation as junior because he was put into a situation at corner in which he probably wasn't the best fit for, and he was also injured going into that season. But senior year, he looked really good and didn't get enough credit for his production. How good of an athlete is Sky Povey?
Sky is very deceiving. If you look at him, you're not going to say, oh, he's an NFL safety. But he's really deceiving. You know, he's, you know, I was shocked because he's really lean right now, and he's really, you know, he's cut up and in shape. So he looks like he weighs 170, but he's almost 200 pounds. So he's just really deceiving. He's deceiving in his drills that he does. You know, he's gonna turn some heads when he does his three cone and his pro shuttle at pro day. I think. I think he's really deceiving as far as quickness. And another thing about Sky too is, at the end of the day, is he's really smart in the film room. And so if he can show up to pro day and he can put up some good numbers and get into camp, and then, you know, once he gets into camp, uses his brain, that's when he's going to have a shot. So I kind of look at it as like a Daniel Sorensen situation. I know Danny was a really good safety, but, you know, if Sky can show up and put up good numbers, there's no reason he can't get in some to the right fit and get on special teams and kick butt on special teams. And then, you know, if he's smart and he shows up and he's in the right place at the right time and he's, you know, picks up the defense, then, you know, who's to say he can't, you know, make a roster? I think he's deceiving and he'll surprise people.
Jordan Pendleton, former BYU outside linebacker here on Cougar Sports on ESPN 960. Coming to an end of the interview, I wanted to get your thoughts and opinion on the schedule next year, 2015. As you look at it, Nebraska to start off, Boise State, UCLA, Michigan, UConn, East Carolina, Cincinnati, Wagner, San Jose State, Missouri, Fresno State, and Utah State. Do you like conference affiliation or independence right now?
After hearing that, conference. Hey, I'll say one thing, man. Buckle up, because that is a tough schedule. It's tough, man. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I would kill to play at the Big House and play against Michigan. You know, I think I would rather play Michigan than, you know, be in the WAC or something and, you know, play in the WAC. But it's tough when, you know, you're playing those type of teams. And if you get a loss early on in the season, the rest of the season, it's almost like you don't have anything to play for. And I know every game is important, but, you know, we need to be back in a conference where, you know, we have something to play for the entire season versus playing a Wisconsin and losing the first game. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, you know, we can't go to the BCS. So now we just hope to win six games so we can go to our bowl game that we've already pre-selected. Like it kind of ruins the competitiveness of being in a conference and having that trophy to play for. But, you know, you can't complain about being able to play those teams either. So it's kind of give and take, you know. Do you want the exposure? Do you want to be on ESPN and play big-time schools? Or, you know, do you want to win a conference and get a trophy? It just kind of – it's give and take, man. I honestly don't know the right answer for it. But I think eventually we need to get back into a conference for sure.
Now since we played in the conference, obviously, you know, and I felt that it gave us not – I shouldn't say more of a purpose, but do you feel like it brought us a little bit more together since we had that common goal? Or do you think that, you know, you can still have a common goal in just winning itself, being independent? Because, you know, for me, I felt like it was awesome to have that conference championship and something to aspire to, because, you know, I felt it brought us together for a certain and common goal. And not to say that, you know, you couldn't do that for an independent.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you, Harvey. I think it does bring you closer together, because, you know, what you see with kids nowadays is, you know, and you saw it with BYU this year. There's no reason they should have lost four games in a row. But what happens is you lose that one game to Utah State, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, we're not going to BCS. So all the seniors are going to look at themselves and be like, well, there's no championship to play for, so I'm out for myself now, and I'm going to try to go to the NFL. I mean, that's just me being honest. Like, if they still had a conference championship to play for, then it's like, all right, like, we lost one game, let's bounce back, and, you know, we're not losing a game. Like, we still have our goals all out in front of us, but to lose one game and have nothing to play for, And you know, you still, like I said, like, you still would hope that as a team you would still have something to play for, because, you know, you're still playing together and you're still playing the game you love. But some guys are going to be like, well, we lost, so now I'm just going to get mine, and I'm going to try to get 10 tackles a game and 3 touchdowns a game and worry about myself versus, hey, we still have something to play for. So that's just how it is. So I think you do lose that in a sense.
JP, appreciate you coming on with us. We know your time is valuable. I know you're training guys and staying busy. So good luck in everything that you're doing. If any of those young men or young women, or even anyone that just wants to get in shape, give Jordan Pendleton a holler. How can they get in touch with you? What's your website?
Yeah, so my website is PendletonPerformance.com. You can email me, JP@PendletonPerformance.com. I won't give my cell phone number out because I already have a bunch of random people trying to hit me up, and that's annoying. But anyway, email me, call me. You can call Aces Athletics in Lehigh. You can call there, and that's about it. So, yeah.
All right, appreciate it, JP. We look forward to doing it again soon, brother.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, JP. Man. Thanks, man. All right, thanks, Harvey.